Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, and Paul, Cobb is gone. He is now with the Dallas Cowboys. Clay Matthews now with the Rams. And I had said last night, look, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse in the NFL. And doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for better is not necessarily the smartest. And the money that they were going to pay those guys, they could have used elsewhere. So to me, it was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, it's sad to see some of the mainstays go, but it's time to move on.
I mostly agree. I would just say I'm surprised that – both contracts surprised me, but for different reasons. Randall Cobb, 1 year, $5 million, to me, is a pretty good deal. I'm not saying Green Bay should have re-signed him, because I think they have other options, and I wouldn't doubt for a second if they hit slot receiver as one of their first four or five draft picks. But for 1 year for $5 million, I thought, if I was giving Dallas a grade for the value that they got, that's a B-plus type value, I think. Now they're trying to replace Beasley, so, I think that's a downgrade overall for Dallas. But nonetheless, I think they got a good deal there. How Clay Matthews got that level of contract?
I have no idea.
How did that happen?
How are they going to use him?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to have to be, in a specialist role and – when you're as good as what the Rams defense is, you can have some specialists like Clay Matthews, but what was it, 2 years, $14.75 million, right? Something like that. And I saw that Ian Rappaport had mentioned on Twitter that, Matthews had more lucrative offers elsewhere but wanted to go close to home. Someone was offering him more than 2 and 14?
Right. I want to know who.
I mean, he and Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers share an agent, and obviously that's a power player among NFL agents. But, man, that guy is earning every penny of his, commission on those contracts because, my goodness, that's, so obviously. If you were to have asked on Twitter or asked on your show, hey, Packers fans, the Packers can get Matthews back 2 years and $14.75 million, I mean, 95% plus would have said, no hard pass, I would assume.
Right.
But I think a higher percentage would say, hey, Packers fans, do you want Cobb back for 1 year and $5 million? I think, I would think probably still the majority would say no thanks, but I think it'd probably be closer to 50-50 than the Matthews contract. So Cobb surprised me. I thought he would have got a little bit more. I think it tells you where he's at in terms of maybe his recent injuries playing a negative factor on his ability. And, yeah, Matthews, Bill, honestly, I think if Matthews stays healthy in Los Angeles, that defense is so stacked that he has a chance to really, I think, excel in a specialist type role. But I'm very surprised they paid that amount, especially knowing that he wanted to play there. He mm-hmm. wanted to, quote unquote, go home. And I think they said the training facility is 3 minutes from his house. He just had his third kid. I mean, it makes so much sense for him personally. I just, he should give his agent a nice Christmas gift because I think that's a really much bigger contract than I think most people expected, myself included.
Okay, here's the thought. Now, I'm listening nationally and outside looking in. I'm listening to Paul Allen coming in this morning. I'm listening to Chicago radio, and then I was listening to the NFL Network. And all basically stated, look, you've got Mason Crosby, Tremont Williams, who since has come back to the team and now with the team, Brian Bulaga and Aaron Rodgers. That's it left over from that Super Bowl team. And anytime you have Aaron Rodgers, you got a shot. But they all say the Packers in the midst of a complete rebuild. From their general manager to their coaching staff to now player personnel, they've cut ties with damn near everybody. And it hit me. I thought, wait a minute, they really are, aren't they?
Well, I mean, the Super Bowl, if you think about, does it feel to you like Randall Cobb has been a Packer for a long time? Does it feel that way to
you?
Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
I would agree. To me, it feels like Randall Cobb has been a Packer for a long time. 8 years in the NFL is a long time. And Cobb was here for the entirety of the post-Super Bowl run, meaning, you know, he was a rookie when they came back from winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, I know how you say, like, the only guys who are left from that Super Bowl team is obviously a very, 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 very small list. You can literally count them on one hand. But that's how fast the NFL moves in 8 years. That, you know, the Packers win the Super Bowl. The following, you know, 2 months later, when there's the NFL draft of 2011, 2 months after winning the Super Bowl, they take a wide receiver named Randall Cobb out of the second round out of Kentucky. Randall Cobb plays 8 successful years in Green Bay, and then he's gone. But that's, I mean, think about that. Like, for me, Cobb has been a Packer for a long time in my own head, and I think that just tells you, like, 8 years in the NFL is a lifetime. It's, you know, it's just such a long period of time that unless you're a quarterback, I mean, that's like a long shelf life for any NFL player, much less with one organization. So that would be, I think, my drawback to that conclusion. And then the other thing I would say is that I don't think rebuild is the correct word. I would call it maybe retooling on the fly, which is maybe a shade above, you know, like it's different though, isn't it? Because like when I hear rebuild, I would mean the Packers are trading Aaron Rodgers for the number one overall pick in the draft so that they can draft Kyler Murray.
Okay.
And they're going to trade David Bakhtiari for, you know, the 20th overall pick. And they're going to trade what, you know, they're going to really take all of their big contracts and they're going to shed them in exchange for draft picks. When Rodgers is your quarterback, you know, and I know he's had 2 bad seasons in a row, you know, we all wait to see if he gets back to quote unquote normal, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the best quarterbacks ever. David Bakhtiari, one of, if not the best left tackle in the league. When you have 2 guys like that, and then you have other strong pieces around him for the most part, and I'm talking about Kenny Clark, an emerging player, Mike Daniels, a very good player, Jaire Alexander, an emerging player, Corey Linsley, a top-5 NFL center, Devontae Adams, a top-5 NFL wide receiver. You know, you're not rebuilding when you have that many really, really good assets. If you were rebuilding, in my opinion, it's up to the, you know, the definition can be up to the interpretation, but you would shed those guys in exchange for cheaper, younger pieces and or picks. So I kind of look at more as like a retool on the fly, and that's, you know, probably nitpicking a little bit on the language. But this is a team that I think most people would say, and this has not been true in recent years, Bill. I saw some odds that came out over the weekend, and it said the Packers, it was like the odds of winning the Super Bowl for next year. And I'm so used to the Packers being one of the first 4 teams mentioned. It just, when I saw them 12th,
right,
behind the Colts, behind the Bears, behind the Browns, I was like, I had to like do a double take because it's just so it's just a different world than what this franchise has been in for the past, you know, long period of time. But I still believe that even if they are ranked 12th in terms of odds to win the Super Bowl, and they clearly have taken some steps back, would anybody really be surprised if the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers were in the NFC Championship game this year? I wouldn't. I would not be surprised.
Right.
I mean, that's just how good he's capable of being. And, again, having Bakhtiari, having Adams, having Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams as a tandem, having Linsley as a center, I think, you know, it's they're far away, and they're also close, if that makes sense, because I think that's just how big the pendulum can swing when you have a quarterback like that.
As I sat here and watched the names of Cobb and Matthews make the exodus, and then I'll give you one more, and then we'll get out of here. But it kind of hit me. It was a deflating day as a Packers fan, I guess.
Sure,
that might be the best way to put it. But it also made me think, okay, is this team better or are they worse? How much talent they have on the come? How big and meaningful a draft this is?
Huge.
And with everything going on, for this team to get back to the postseason this year, I mean, everything would have to start to click. Wouldn't it? I mean, granted, the offensive unit, for the most part, short of maybe changing some pieces on the right side of the offensive line, everything's pretty much intact. All you did was lose one guy. You know, you kept everybody else on the same page. You still got a pretty good running tandem. You still got the quarterback. You still got a good left side of your offensive line. You need some depth. But everything else is pretty much the same if you can pick up another wide receiver to really be another guy. But defensively speaking, man, there is so much over there that is, there's incoming and there's outgoing. And, boy, Mike Pettine has got a work cut out for him, doesn't he?
He does. And I don't know if the Kool-Aid I had this morning was a mixture of limeade and lemonade, you know, a little green and gold
sure.
mixture. And if I accidentally you know, drank too much of it. But I feel like I might be a little bit more optimistic on the immediate future of the team. And, you know, you said almost everything would have to go right. Correct me if I misquoted you here, but, like, pretty much everything would have to go right for them to make the postseason. Is that just to make the playoffs?
For as strong as the Bears and the Vikings have been, yeah.
Yeah, and that's certainly possible. I guess I look at the rest of the NFC and I say, I mean, maybe again, and I feel like I'm probably coming out more on like the Mark Murphy end of this thing, which is like, this is not, and maybe this goes back to what you're hearing on national, you know, TV and national radio. I guess I just don't buy into this being a rebuild where Mark Murphy is going to give LaFleur a year or two to get this team back to the playoffs. I don't think that's the expectation from upper management, Mark Murphy. And I just don't think that you can have, I don't care if, you know, Rodgers was obviously hurt in 2017. 2018 was a bad year. He clearly, to Mercedes Lewis's point on that one show a couple months ago, had no interest in calling the play that Mike McCarthy brought into the huddle. And then, of course, McCarthy was fired. And now they have a first-year head coach. But I still don't think that, you know, when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of any franchise, that that team should ever go through a 3 to 4 year playoff drought. They've already had a 2 year playoff drought. You know, they brought in a new coach. They've refigured most of, if not the entire offensive coaching staff and parts of the defensive coaching staff. And they got spending in free agency. Now they have 3 picks in the top 44 of the draft. Again, I don't know if this is overly optimistic or if I'm giving Rodgers just too much credit for his ability to swing the pendulum of a single team. Because again, I think we found out how much he can do and when it's just too much for any one player to overcome, especially when that player is not really listening to the head coach anymore. But it's, I guess I have a stronger sense of optimism about where this team is going. And I think if they go through a 6-10, 7-9 year, I think that falls for me under the category of inexcusable, you know, with when, you know, because again, What Brian Gutekunst did last offseason in re-signing Aaron Rodgers to this record-breaking contract, even though he had all this leverage, he could have had 2 years left in his contract, 2 years of franchise tagging him, but Gutekunst in the front office said, nope, we got to take care of him, we got to make him happy, we got to do these things, we're going to fire the head coach, Mike McCarthy, with 4 games left in regular season, we're going to bring in a new guy, a 39-year-old head coach, you know, from an offensive coordinator, we're going to do all these things. And if we're going to spend in free agency, oh my gosh, on day 2 of free agency, you're going to spend $100 million. And if all of those things result in a 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 season, I think that would be categorized as a failure, mm-hmm. not like as a disappointment, but as a failure. So I think I have, again, there's so much for us to learn about this team. They still have to go through the draft process. There's going to be more pieces added, I assume, small pieces, but pieces nonetheless, in free agency or some sort of like post-draft sort of waiver claims. But I don't know. I think, Bill, I think I might have a higher level of, if not optimism, then maybe expectation for what I think this team should do. That I don't think this should take a couple of years to turn around. And I think if it does, LaFleur is going to be looking for a different job in a couple of years. I don't think he has that much distance in Mark Murphy's mind, that much leash, I should probably say, in Mark Murphy's mind to take that long. I think the expectation for Murphy is this better happen this year.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again tomorrow, okay?
All right, thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Paul Lemming, our Green Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.